Jody?
Item number five is the transition of the Behavioral Health Division's Wraparound Wellness Clinic to a youth and young adult community-based outpatient clinic.
So, is that Heidi?
Hi, good afternoon. I'm Heidi Siskishma.
Heidi is, so the agenda's missing an I at the end of your name.
It's Heidi. That's correct.
Okay, H-E-I-A. Good.
Yes, Heidi Siskishma, our Director of Operations for Wraparound Milwaukee and our Children's Community Mental Health Programming. So today I'm going to take you through the information in your packet as it relates to the Children's Mental Health Medication Management Clinic. And this has been a project that we have been working on for a number of months. So as we take a look at the slide deck in our packets today, I'm going to share my screen, Jody, if that's okay with you.
Go right ahead.
Thank you. This will also be discussed next week at the full mental health board, but to make sure that then we have brought this to the finance committee. Once we go through this PowerPoint, then Matt Fortman will also talk through some of the finances and the budget sheet that we have related to the expenses for the clinic as well. Overall, what we are attempting to achieve is under a DHS 35 license, the Behavioral Health Division will establish a community-based outpatient clinic that provides medication management and psychotherapy services to serve youth and young adults enrolled in Wraparound Milwaukee and UCCS, with a future goal to also serve youth and young adults at the community at large. Currently, the name of this clinic is the Wraparound Wellness Clinic. We are working in making more of a general name for the Behavioral Health Division so that it is known more to the community of the services that we provide. And it does really focus on that No Wrong Front Door initiative for DHHS. So that is something in the making, but there is something on there is a suggestion on the table right now. So more information to come on that in the future. We are hoping to move forward within this clinic in early 2022, quarter one, when we're getting some of those approvals for our DHS 35 licensure, getting the approval for the occupancy, and that's a little of the information that we're going to go through here. In addition to that, we are transitioning our electronic health record over to a NetSmart solution and the Provider Connect and Avatar solution with them too. So there's quite a bit of pieces. Within those pieces, we have established 8 work groups to ensure that we're really focused on what our goal is. Focusing on our credential and licensing of the clinic, our delivery model and development, evaluation and data, facility planning, and that's a lot of where this budget is going to come from or those dollars are going to come from when Matt Fortman talks about that later on. Our financials, looking at revenue streams and our budget development, other insurance options, T19, becoming a provider and an eligible provider under them. 6.0 is our IT tools, a marketing work group, and then also focusing on policy and procedure to ensure we're in compliance of DHS 35. Within our credentialing and licensing, we're looking at, as we said, applying for that DHS 35 licensure. In addition, looking at a HPSA designation as well as a National Health Corps certification as well, and completing those within 2022. Within our delivery model, this is probably the biggest project of all of those 8 work groups that we have identified. Focusing on our delivery of services, our eligible clients, our staffing model, our schedule, our pharmacy support, and any ancillary services as well. When we look at our model, we do have our referral process in place of how youth and young adults will become referred to our program, those that are currently enrolled within our system of care, but then thinking of over the next several years of the community at large. Our current enrollment will be of Wraparound Milwaukee and UCCS, with that age range remaining consistent of our current enrollment within those programs through age 22. Our clinic capacity is discussed more in that evaluation and data. And then we are developing system tools or delivery tools, such as that initial assessment, that treatment plan, and that discharge plan. We're looking at those budgeted FTEs. This was something that was brought to the Finance Committee several months ago when we looked at our 2022 budget and what that meant for BHD as a whole. but how we're currently functioning within our FTEs based off of that role or that position, and our potential for the future as well. We also looked at then the model in which we would provide those services, roles and responsibilities of a typical or standard type of medication management clinic. Who provides what role and how long that takes to ensure that we have really good quality and efficiency behind what we do and how we do it. So as youth and families come into our clinic, that they then feel that they are receiving kind of effective and quality level of services too. All of this is in your packet. If you have any questions or concerns as I'm going through it, please feel free to let me know. We also took a look at that staffing model for the psychotherapy. What a critical piece is under that DHS 35 is to have a psychotherapist within that clinic. Kathy Evers? You're muted.
I just have a question, Heidi. You know, the model is one psychotherapist. And I gathered from the material I read that the idea would be to refer people for psychotherapy services to other agencies primarily. I just have a concern about the availability of that. I don't hear anything in this community about the ability to get psychotherapy appointments that's good. So, and I think that's an important component. So I just would want to be sure that you actually can get some psychotherapy appointments.
I think that's a really good point. As we initiate this and begin with one psychotherapist within the clinic, the need may be much greater than that. Many of our youth and our families are already receiving psychotherapy within their benefits or their services through the HMO or CCS specifically. So we want to be really cognizant of family choice. And if they are currently receiving psychotherapy with a different clinician, having them continue with that while then balancing that with the med management and how we can collaborate with each other to ensure that we are effectively providing those services. I think you make a really valid point. While we're starting off with one psychotherapist, the need for our community is much greater than that, and the need within this clinic is going to be much greater than that. So we have even begun talking up through of what that might look like as we continue to grow and expand.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you. Mike?
If I could just jump in and one addition to that. When we looked at this and when we looked at the availability, the prescribers were the thing in the community that was in the shortest supply. To Heidi's point, we do have a significant number of therapists in the network, in the RAT network and through CCS, but really I want to say there was only a single psychiatrist available for youth in CCS outside of our RAT wellness clinic. And psychiatry is the thing that has been well documented to have a very substantial wait list. You know, the children's network, I haven't heard a recent update, but it was up to 6 months as recently as 2 months ago. So we felt that this was a key area of need, and we feel like our charter is to fill gaps and make sure that people who are in the most need get the help they need. And this was something that just isn't available without us taking the lead on it.
Yeah, so a lot of the expansion initially within the services provided within the clinic are related to those prescribers, ensuring that we have adequate psychiatrists or APNPs to provide and meet that need.
This is Denise. I'd also say, comment on the RN. I see that you have the office assistant, RN, maybe considering medical assistant that can, you know, do the vitals, weights. So again, offloading to a competency that's at a lower cost, and really keeping the nurse focused on the medication management component within their scope of their role.
And so, I really appreciate that recommendation, and we love to hear that. We have been thinking about those cost-saving measures as well. We currently do maintain an RN within the clinic, but definitely have been looking at other opportunities that might be much more cost-effective.
Yeah, because RNs are available as well as the cost.
I agree. And anytime we go to the doctor or receive types of services like medication management, most likely it's not an RN who is doing those types of vitals check for you, for doing your weight, getting all that update for you. Typically, it is an individual of a lesser licensure, but still qualified. Absolutely. We also took a look.
Yeah, a couple of questions here related to the model of care. How have you accounted for the transition after age 22 to adult services?
At this time, and understanding that our youth are enrolled with the HMO and or with CCS, the team then would work with that youth and that family for the transition plan as they disenroll from our services and then move into other services or potentially move into services under our adult area too. So the team would then develop a plan for that level of transition. That also might occur closer to the age of 18 as they approach adulthood, if they choose that, if the youth or families choose to look for a psychiatrist outside of our provider network too. So we want to make sure that the team is very focused on that, but the prescriber is part of that team and will be a part of that transition plan as well.
So in your staffing model, you don't have a pharmacist. So obviously, it seems this is not going to be a dispensary of some kind. You're going to manage medications, but not dispense them.
That is correct. As we go to the facility, and I'm just going to go ahead and jump some slides here. As we take a look at our slide of our facility, where the building would be located within the community is 1919 West North Avenue. It's on the second floor of the Shafi Plaza. And in this picture, you can see that on the first floor of this is Hyatt Pharmacy. So what will that do is we'll create a natural partnership of if families choose to then receive those medications through Hyatt, they could essentially leave their appointment, walk downstairs, and go ahead and get those prescriptions filled, including their injectables as well. With that, however, for family choice, if they choose to then go to a different pharmacy, they would have that available as well.
Now, aren't these patients eligible for 340B wholesale pharmaceuticals?
Under a 35 licensure?
I'm just wondering if, for instance, facilities, maybe nursing homes, that have dispensaries internally, they are participating in a 340B program, which is a lower cost service, pharmaceutical service. And do these patients that you're talking about serving, the youth, also qualify for 340B, you know, drugs?
Mr. Lutz,
as opposed to retail?
Likely not, unless they were embedded within one of the existing 340B family health centers. A lot of these are not. And even if they are, that does not create any incentive for us to set up our own pharmacy structure behind this. The clinic is going to be a licensed freestanding clinic, and we will have to help facilitate where people get their meds, but we're not going to run any pharmacy back end. Because with mixed payers, there's going to be mixed rules, and it's easier just to then have them embedded in community resources. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I understand where you're going with this. The question remains, I understand what you're going to do. Is it possible to do something with 340B as well? By finding, you know, it may be that you don't necessarily run the pharmacy, but could you partner with somebody that's already 340B qualified? Or does Hyatt wish to become 340B qualified just to partner with you in the right way? It's just a question.
We can definitely take a look at that to better understand how that would work within the clinic and the future of the clinic and provide you additional information. Kathy? You're muted in case you're trying to speak.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not trying to speak.
Okay. No, that's good. So I know I jumped a little here, but as far as that pharmacy support, we did speak a little about that. We are taking a look at just evaluation and data, looking at the capacity within the clinic. Well, we took a look at the capacity of the clinic. We look at what it's currently at, which is currently serving about 950 unique clients. As we look at then what our staffing model is and how that then would be the increase within the hours within those staff time, we would essentially double that capacity in looking at serving closer to 1,800 unique clients within this clinic. For our facility planning, we took a look at the clinic location, the needs, and how that clinic would be laid out. We have selected a location of 1919 West North Avenue. As we mentioned, that's within the Chaffee Plaza. The Chaffee Plaza is owned and operated by Chaffee Enterprises. We have initiated a letter of intent with them that they have drafted, and it is in kind of that final stage for our review. With that, then we will be establishing a lease agreement with Chaffee Enterprises. There's plenty of space located on the second floor that will be solely occupied by us, 5,800 square feet plus, which is definitely sufficient amount to meet our needs. We established kind of a basic needs list of what we were looking at. Mary?
I just wanted to back up to, I didn't raise my hand earlier about the position that was currently filled by an RN that could be filled by a different position. You might want to look at peer specialists. There's a number of peer specialists that have come from other professions, often from other medical professions, and might be able to utilize a peer specialist that has office experience and would do the scale, the weighing and the vitals and those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And then you could use the expertise of a peer specialist there as well.
That would be a really nice compliment for an individual to have that background, even being like a CNA and a peer specialist.
Right.
Great suggestion.
Thank you.
We made a basic needs list of what we were looking for from the clinic itself when we placed this within the community. And what was really critical, top of the list, is the location. Ensuring that it was placed within an area within the city of Milwaukee that really a majority of our youth and our families, it kind of a central location for them to then receive those supports and services. We did then select the 53205 zip code and were able to then meet that within the Chaffee Plaza. In addition to that, we wanted to make sure we had some basic needs met within this clinic, offices and exam rooms, the vitals area, reception area, et cetera, as we went through this. Looking at then the number of visitors parking spots, the number of employee parking spots, ensuring that that was all sufficient. And as we took a look at our original list and then compared it to how those needs were met in this location at Chaffee Plaza, we were able to check off that all of those needs were actually met, if not exceeded, such as visitor parking alone has many more spots. We know that's one of the biggest concerns at all of our Milwaukee County locations, but especially we hear that a lot at the Behavioral Health Division too. We then took a look at what our layout is, our current layout of that facility, and then our future layout of it. We have done in this model here. It shows you that layout of how it will be. Lots of information, lots of colors in here. But essentially what this is pointing out is that dark blue or that navy blue are the amount of renovations that we'll be making within this project. There are some minimal renovations that will be made in order to ensure that we're making the accommodations to meet the needs within this clinic. Very specifically, like in this area here, we're making a conference room larger than what it currently is. One, to ensure that we can meet the COVID protocols as far as social distancing, but also accommodating more people within this area too. In addition, in this second area over here, we're creating a second waiting area for youth and for families. This will also have kind of a children's play area where youth and families will go ahead and sit. There'll be a children's play activity board there. Sometimes you see those within pediatrician's office or other types of children's office, just to ensure that children can kind of be occupied while they are waiting for their appointment, hopefully not too long, but that their parents also have a place to sit with them too. As we enter here in this part, we do come off of an elevator. There is also a stairwell, too, for those who prefer to use the stairway. There is a waiting area here as well. So we will have two waiting areas. In this space, then, we come to our reception area here in the front. It will also have 15 offices and exam rooms, 6 hotel suites or offices for other staff to then use, a waiting area that seats up to 20, a large conference room, and individual restrooms. Took a look at as far as our budget and the number of staff for our future capacity, what that might look like and what their time, how their time might be budgeted. In addition to that, what that might look like in the number of intakes that they have per week and the number of follow-ups they have per week based off of the schedule itself. So really being cognizant that for our revenue streams. Our IT tools, we needed to be really cognizant of our electronic health record. Moving to a certified electronic health record for our wellness clinic services. What I mentioned at the beginning of this is that we will be moving to a NetSmart solution under our Provider Connect solution that is currently used by our other access clinics and other parts of the behavioral health division. That planning has already kicked off, and we are optimistic to then go ahead and transition to that platform in early 2022, possibly January, if not February. We also have a marketing area where we really are focused on our DHHS access point, being another no wrong door within Milwaukee County so that individuals or the community can receive supports and services and be linked to those supports and services within Milwaukee County. Some community planning and development as well. And once we are able to then finalize the letter of intent, we will then begin working more closely with those community members. The location that we have selected is really central around areas such as churches, food pantries, and other types of community supports. So we're really looking forward to networking with them and becoming kind of closely connected to better meet our youth and families' needs. Ensuring proper signage is on the building, which we've already gotten the thumbs up from the owner of the building, and that we're branded appropriately too. And of course, policy and procedure. With any type of licensure, we need to ensure that compliance around that specific licensure. So we have specific policies and procedures already implemented. We will be implementing some new policies and procedures, which are already being drafted and as of this point being finalized. By looking at all these different pieces, it's kind of coming back to the beginning. What we'll be able to achieve is under that DHS 35 license, the Behavioral Health Division will establish a community-based outpatient clinic that provides both medication management and psychotherapies to youth and young adults within our programming and then looking forward to the future and providing services to the community at large as well. Matt, do you want to talk a little about the budget and the operational and the project costs that we have planned?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So right now we're looking at a base rent of $10.50 per square foot and additional maintenance cost of $3.50 per square foot for a total annual rent of $82,516. We are needing to do some initial construction and shared parking lot construction, interior rehabilitation of $25,000, $4,400 for the parking lot. Additionally, some IT infrastructure, wiring, telephonic, fiber optic services to the tune of $81,591. The exterior signage cost that Heidi just mentioned for $5,000. So the total lease with the vendor is, as I said, $82,516. But with those additional costs, over the first year, we're anticipating spending $211,000 we're integrating those startup costs into a healthcare infrastructure grant request that we have just submitted. We're hopeful that that will be approved. If that is not approved, there's also opportunity for potential supplemental block grant funds to apply to this project. Really excited to move forward here. I think we have a very competitive rate in a great area.
So very good. Anything more, Heidi?
Nothing else to add.
Okay. Is this a rather new concept, unlike Granite Hill, which we heard about for years, and unlike the emergency center we heard about for years? We heard about this for months, maybe, or weeks. So is this a rather new concept that sort of popped up, an opportunity that popped up that we weren't really thinking about?
I can help out on this one, Heidi. So really, since the reality started to hit that we were going to close the BHD facility and literally move away and no longer be at BHD, it became necessary to start to reimagine what the clinic would be, the wellness clinic. The historical RAP wellness clinic fits a very important niche in the community, and many of the kids that are served there don't have another option, frankly. And so we knew we needed another location. We knew that the new location would have to be licensed as a DHS 35 clinic to operate successfully. And so this has been in the discussion for quite some time. It just exactly how this was going to be done was a bit up for discussion, and it wasn't a top priority given all of the other pressures on us in a number of other areas. For example, the expansion of youth CCS is relatively new, but has been wildly successful. I think initially, Tom, the intent was to replicate what we had with the youth wellness clinic, but we decided as a team was that we already basically have maxed out the capacity of the clinic. And really, there just aren't, as I mentioned earlier, there aren't enough prescribers for kids today who are participants in the CCS program or who would be served by the RAP network in the future. With such enormous growth, we know that there is unmet needs in our community. And frankly, other providers just haven't been able to fill this niche. This is a place where we feel like our mission and our whole vision of an enterprise is to provide services and bridge the gap, bringing services to areas that don't have adequate access. The 53205 zip code has been identified as the zip code with the least services, and as you saw in a presentation at the previous board meeting. And you know, also, it doesn't get much more upstream than providing services to youth, many of whom are experiencing a first episode or really that first contact with the mental health system. Our goal here is to provide spectacular services to kids and their families early on so that it improves their lifetime experience and reduces the impact of those mental health challenges that they are experiencing. And so this isn't a new idea, really, but it is sort of one of the next steps in our plan. Really will be delivered in concert with our community health center partnerships, with the Mental Health Emergency Center. Really, it'll just be another part of a much larger network of services. And certainly, I'm sure Brian and Heidi could talk about this as well. I mean, this is just a key piece to the puzzle. If you're waiting 6 months for that first appointment with a prescriber, it's awfully hard to provide prompt and adequate treatment to a person in a mental health crisis.
Yeah, no, it's an exciting thing, and certainly to be encouraged. It's just a question of you know, information. Manuel, I see you have your hand up.
Hello, hello. I hope you all are well. I am a retired educator of 13 years, and for the last 4 years, I taught at a local high school. There was a gentleman named Z I met just one block away from this place, and I was contacted by a member of the community to do a wellness check right on 19th Street, where the Fond du Lac corridor meets North Avenue. When I went to go check on him, he was a man, he was homeless, and he was also a veteran. And I can imagine that at one point in his life, he was a young man. When I went to go check on Z, I spent about an hour with him. I took him some food, I took him some supplies. I came back a couple of days later, and don't judge me, but I even took him a beer. That's what he asked for. In that time frame, I watched two people walk across the street and take everything that man had. And when I tell you that, when you put essential spaces like the one that was just presented in the community, there can be a great turnaround.
This location is just a few blocks away from the Running Rebels organization. It's literally just a few steps away from Walnut Way Conservatory. And so when we reinvest in the community, we can have great expectations and great outcomes. I didn't know what I was going to take away from this meeting today. When I got up at 1 o'clock this morning, I studied the Milwaukee County website until 5 a.m. I wonder, what would I learn today? And I learned that Heidi did a hell of a presentation. Great job to you. In addition to that, there are some innovative resources that are going to continue to come down the pipeline. And as long as we keep an open mind, we can actually prevent some of these challenges before they become a crisis. And so I love the layout of the space. I think it's adequate. I think that there is a much necessary need for it. And as Mike put, it's been worked on for a while. But in addition to that, it's also new and innovative. So I just wanted to put that comment out there for you guys as you get ready to make your decision. And just know, as a member of the community, as a person who is active in 53205 and 53206, I'm looking forward to seeing the innovation that you guys bring. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Very, very interesting comments. Heidi, you may know, and certainly Michael does, you have providers with contracts with BHD that do run 340B programs. So in addition to researching this with the state BHS 35 group, you could probably research it with your own subcontractors to see how that program could interface. I know Whole Health Clinical Group, for instance, is one of them, but certainly hospitals operate the same kind of program, and there are a number of resources that you can connect with just to find out, is it reasonable or how might it work, or would there be a cost advantage? Certainly if somebody's covered by an HMO, I don't think HMOs, they can cover retail pharmacy. I'm not sure how they cover 340B pharmacies. The uninsured won't have the resources probably to, you know, cover that cost, and so then if the county BHD covers that cost, then you're going to want it to be as low as possible. But it's just a question, something to research.
I think it's something that's really critical, especially as we look at the expansion of this clinic and providing services to the community at large. While we understand our HMO and our benefits under there and CCS or through the T19, we need to be very cognizant of different opportunities in the future to better serve our youth and our families that receive supports, and those that are underinsured or uninsured, being cognizant of those types of programming. So I appreciate you bringing that up.
A question for Michael. I noticed in the news that Daryl Brooks' mother wrote a letter to the press saying that the reason for her son's behavior was the absence of resources, mental health resources in the community. Are we being reached out to about that or anything? Do we need a defensive strategy here to think about?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I mean, I wouldn't be able to discuss any individual's case or treatment or referral, but I would say that we are extremely active with representatives from both the district attorney's office and the public defender's office. We have a BHD agent actually stationed within the jail. Each individual who is seen at the jail is admitted to the jail, gets a risk screen, as was described in a Journal Sentinel story today. They use what's called the brief jail mental health screen. Any individual who would screen positive on that screen does get assessed and for needs and can be referred to BHD services, and many have. This is all related to our work as collaborators on the MacArthur Safety and Justice Challenge. So there are substantial resources in place for individuals. I guess the caveat would be most of those resources are really delivered on a voluntary basis. So an individual would have to be a willing participant in said services. And if someone would refuse those with the absence of a court order or some sort of mental health commitment on the civil side or some sort of complex prosecutory action to force treatment through a competency restoration action, there really wouldn't be a way to entice someone into treatment other than just trying to offer them help. So in that particular case, it would strike me that had the prosecutor's office felt that Mr. Brooks required competency restoration, they would have made that referral and would have entered that path. Many have. There is no shortage of individuals who get referred to treatment in lieu of incarceration. And so, again, I wouldn't want to disclose something that I shouldn't publicly, but just as a practical matter, there is a vehicle for individuals to access that level of care through the system. And we are substantial partners with the criminal justice system in that regard.
Okay. Very good. We don't need any action, Heidi. It was informational, I believe. There's no, it's not an action item. So back to you,
Mr. Chairman, committee members, it is a recommendation item and is notated as such on the agenda.
Oh, okay. So we need to recommend to the board approval of the budget for this clinic. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Do we have a motion to approve? Kathy moved and John seconded. Okay. Any further discussion?
Yeah, I would just have one more recommendation before going to the board. In running several clinics, when I look at page 5 or the 5.0 financials, looking at productivity assumptions per APNP or psychiatrist, so in real life, you deal with a certain percentage of no-shows. And so, you know, the assumption of, you know, what that productivity would might look like for your providers and incentive-based payments for higher-level productivity is something that is annoying, but have been successful also in managing operations. So having some type of assumptions on productivity goals, you know, and I was trying to do the math around how many individuals we're seeing, the length of the time we're seeing, and, you know, as we look at those expenses, salaries and wages probably being one of the highest expenses that we note in the clinic. And then you can sometimes see anywhere between 10 and 30% no-show rate. So how you backfill that is the secret to success in operations.
Thank you for that recommendation. That is something that we have been in discussion around and considering how we might incorporate those within employment agreements. We are cognizant of our show rate within this clinic, and I know that this PowerPoint gives you kind of the cliff note version and kind of a full understanding of how we came at these total numbers. It does include that additional information in there and being very cognizant of what our show rate is, and also being cognizant of emergencies that pop up throughout the day and how those can be met within this full schedule, and then balancing that show rate too. Thank you for that recommendation.
Any further discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? Unanimous.